Iran's judiciary has upheld death sentences for two teenagers. They were arrested as part of the country's protest against the Iranian regime, which are entering their fourth month. One rights group estimates that close to 500 people have been killed by Iran security forces as part of the protests. Let's bring in journalist Nigar Mortazavi, host of the Iran podcast, to tell us more. Nigar, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. Let's start on the latest on those two teenagers whose death sentences were upheld just a couple of days ago. What do you know about their cases?
Well, we don't know much. Just as you said, both about 18 years old, Mehdi Mohammadi Farr is one of them from the city of Noshahr, and also Arshia Tagdastan, 18 years old. Both of them have been handed the death sentence. The second teenager is from the city of Sari. And it sort of goes along with the same playbook the regime has been using in the past 3 months by using a lot of brutal force, violence on the streets against protesters, and also the arrests of thousands of protesters and handing down harsh sentences mm-hmm. to many protesters. Two have already been executed, two young men, and in very rushed court cases and with a lack of due process, access to lawyers of their choice and whatnot. And there's fear that there will be more coming, essentially as a way for the regime to instill fear in the protesters and prevent more protests from breaking mm-hmm. out in the country.
And yet these death sentences come as the star of an Oscar-winning film has reportedly been released on bail after she was arrested in mid-December. Has there been a difference in the way the regime has treated high-profile prisoners like her?
Well, they know that there is a higher cost associated to prominent figures. As you said, high-profile prisoners like prominent actress Tarana Al-Dusti, who has just been released. She was in custody for about 3 weeks, and there was an international outcry for after her arrest and calls to free her by prominent filmmakers and artists in the movie industry across the world. And so it does have a higher cost for the government to sort of impose these detentions, arrests, and harsh sentences on prominent figures, mm-hmm. activists, artists, and athletes, as opposed to ordinary citizens and protesters no one's ever heard of. And the case of the two executions that already happened were like that. They were both young men that weren't prominent activists or known figures.
I see. And even if protesters are not given a death sentence, they could be at risk for significant prison sentences, torture, or even sexual assault, right?
Definitely. So we're hearing reports of sexual assault coming from inside prisons, from detention, even in the process of being detained on the street. Many women are reporting it, and men. And also, again, the playbook, as we've seen in the past, in 2009, mass protests across the country, 2019, again, mass anti-government protests across the country, violence on the street, and also many arrests, mass arrests, and harsh sentences handed to a lot of the detainees to essentially make an example of them to try to prevent by the state further protests.
When it comes to getting information about the protests in Iran, you personally face significant online harassment related to your own coverage. A talk you were supposed to give in Chicago was moved online because of a bomb threat. And you're not the only journalist who's faced this. What do these threats suggest to you about how the West is getting information about these protests?
Well, as you said, there's a very difficult sort of flow of information. State, obviously, the regime in the country is limiting the free flow of information. Dozens of journalists have been arrested. Journalists are targeted, threatened. Even foreign journalists are either limited in where they can go, what they can cover inside the country, or banned from entering the country to cover the protests. We see a lot of prominent outlets their correspondents basically covering these protests from outside of Iran, neighboring countries, or some even far away in their western boroughs. And it's similar for me. It's very difficult to be covering a situation when you're far away. Obviously, with internet and connections, it's become easier and more accessible, but it's still difficult. And the regime is constantly trying to cut these connections that we have to our sources, to people on the ground, activists, journalists, protesters. And then on the outside also, there's a massive attack on the broader Iranian diaspora community in general, but particularly on journalists, on activists, on analysts, and specifically women are targeted with a lot of misogynistic and violent sort of online harassment and toxicity.
It's a terrible situation for so many there. That is journalist Nagar Mortazaveh talking with us about the latest from Iran. Nagar, thank you for your work, your coverage, and your time today.
Thanks for having me.